Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
There are many professional athletes that have given back to their communities and to those less fortunate. Linebacker Ray May is one of those that did something pretty amazing with a bonus check that he got one offseason for something that his team accomplished that was pretty great. We have Ray's story and more coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And as we look back into that portal of great football history, one name comes up from the 1960s and early 1970s that really shines a great light on some great things that football players can do to help out their communities. The name Ray May may be foreign to the modern-day football fan, but in the late 1960s and 70s, he had a solid NFL career. Ray was a city boy most of his young life. Remember that fact. He grew up in Los Angeles, and he went to L.A. City College as a junior college, and then to USC, where he played linebacker. He then was drafted into the NFL by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the fourth round of the 1967 NFL draft as the 89th overall pick in that draft. Now, Ray played in Pittsburgh for three seasons, and during that time, the Steelers, they just weren't very good. As a matter of fact, they were by far the worst team in football during that span. They didn't do much to build the confidence of a young player, as May questioned himself if he was any good. As a Steelers, in three seasons, he played in 40 games. He had five interceptions and even scored a touchdown in one of them. Not bad for a middle linebacker in the late 1960s in the NFL. In late May of 1970, Pittsburgh traded May to the Baltimore Colts for a couple of running backs. They're pretty good ones too, Preston Pearson and O.C. Austin. And when he arrived in Baltimore, who was a very good team at the time, Ray really questioned his ability as he looked around the room of high caliber NFL veterans on the Colts. Now it's pretty cool what happened next. Veteran quarterback Johnny Unitas, who was the face of the franchise of the Baltimore Colts in the 1960s, pulled Ray aside one day, sensing the lack of confidence in his ability to play on the Colts team. What the wily quarterback said to the young backer really motivated him. According to a 2013 Baltimore Sun article, Ray May recanted that Johnny U told him, quote, "You know, Ray, we could have gotten any player on the Steelers, but we got you. Now prove to us that we took the right guy," end quote. Well, those few words from the savvy leader of the Colts motivated Ray May into having three pretty incredible years as the middle linebacker of the Baltimore linebacking corps. He had 36 starts as a Colt with four picked off passes, and none was larger when he intercepted a last second pass from Oakland Raider quarterback George Blanda that was intended for Raymond Chester in the 1970 American Football Conference Championship game. That act helped preserve the Colts' 27-17 victory and earned them a trip into Super Bowl V. Now, the Colts were in the first season of having Don McCafferty as the field boss after Don Shula left for Miami in 1970. And the Colts ended the season at 11-2-1. They won the AFC East and went on to defeat the Dallas Cowboys after that game with the Raiders in the big game, the Super Bowl, 16-13. Ray and each Colt player received a bonus check of $15,000 each. Pretty good money at that time. And what Ray did with his money, well, that is the selfless act that makes him an inspiration sensation and a topic of our article today. According to a story in a book I picked up recently, More Than a Game by John Wybush, Ray May used a portion of his Super Bowl winnings to buy a ranch in a remote part of Kansas. Now, that doesn't sound too spectacular. But as we stated earlier, May had never lived in a rural country before. Well, that makes it a little bit more interesting, but still not an inspiration sensation. But fate took him to the ranch near Wakefield, Kansas, to look into buying a horse. And before the star backer had left, he had purchased not just one, but six horses, and also 185 acres to go with it. Well, that all sounds pretty incredible, but not to the point of being an incredible sensation for the NFL and a good story. It's the reason that Ray made the purchase. He bought it for the use in the troubled neighborhoods that had adopted Ray as a hero and a father figure and a role model. Now, Ray lived a happy childhood in L.A., playing at the local park named Denker Park. And while at USC, he observed some kids one day that were inactive, and he was worried about what they may do and what kind of lifestyle they could get into. So what he did what he did when he was a kid. He took them to the park and showed them some good old-fashioned, good, clean fun. And he said they looked like they needed some hope. And that's the reason he did it. And Ray was there to help oblige the need. And it sounds like it was just as much fun for Ray May as it was for these youngsters. And as the years went by, Ray connected with more and more youths. And once he bought the farm, you know, he had moved to Pittsburgh after USC and then lived in Baltimore and gained, you know, some knowledge of these troubled youths and kids that just needed some hope, like Ray says. And most of them had never seen anything but the inner city, just like Ray had when he was a kid. So taking him out to a ranch out in the middle of Kansas, in the middle of nowhere, and showing him some good hard work on some ranching, and as Ray was learning himself, was really a good, great break for the kids from their lifestyle, and just showed them another side of life and some pleasures and some accomplishments that they could account for just doing some good, clean, hard work. Now, Ray believed in the goodness of humanity and kindness as he showed his far-reaching effects had probably, he probably doesn't even know how good those effects were and what they may have done on those children that he really helped to show another side of life and just some great things and some great country fresh air rather than the city smog. And instead of looking at buildings, looking at trees and fields and animals. Just a tremendous job and a true inspiration that Ray May did with his unselfish act with some of his money from winning Super Bowl V as a great player for the Colts. Now, Ray May, after 3 years with the Colts, played a few years with the Denver Broncos as well until he retired in the early 1970s. So we hope you showed a little bit of insight into some of these great players and some of the absolutely wonderful things that they did with their prowess and star power and money that they earned and fame in the NFL to help some of those that are less fortunate into a better life, hopefully, and at least to give them a glimpse of hope like Ray May did. So hope you'll join us for some more football history tomorrow here on Pigskin Dispatch. Until tomorrow, have a great gridiron day. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.